At this time of year, a lot of people get colds and the flu, and that becomes quite evident. And the fact that I think I'm going to lose my voice is another problem we have to endure, but I'll have to rely upon this microphone to help me get the words out. Alright, I want to talk about a subject called popular profanity. And as we know, profanity is getting more popular all the time. But profanity is more than just cursing or taking the name of God in vain. It goes beyond that. And so we're going to talk about what profanity actually is and what it does or expresses towards God. And so hopefully this will make sense, and hopefully that when you're around your friends and they keep dropping these F-bombs and other things, maybe you'll understand that God is not pleased with that. He's not pleased with us saying it. He's not pleased with us hearing it. And allowing people around us to continue with that really is not being very nice to God. So let's look at this subject, popular profanity. See, profanity is all irreverence shown towards God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you look at the word profanity, you can see within it the word that is profane. And that means against God's will, against God's law, something that God considers an abomination. And so we read from Ezekiel that these people have profaned God's ways. In other words, they can't tell the difference between right and wrong. These people cannot tell the difference between clean and unclean. They can't tell the difference between good and evil. That's how far the people went into their apostasy. And God is tired of that. And so this is what the profane is getting this point that God does not like it. And so profanity, just an extension of the word, is something that we've got to know from the start God doesn't like. It is treating holy things as common, whether by word or deed. And so when we understand that, it means everything that God considers holy, I mean, we are disrespecting that. We are disrespecting what is holy. It might be the church building, and really it's just a structure, but this is a place where we come to worship. And when we are gathered together, it is a holy place. Now, when we're not here, it's not holy, but when we are here, gathered together, it is a holy place. Christians are a holy thing to the Lord, so we should not profane that in any way. Our Bibles, the Word of God, is a good thing, and we should not treat it with any disrespect or irreverence or anything like that. And so when we treat it as a common thing, well, it's just the Bible. I mean, you keep one in the dashboard of your car to show off, apparently. You keep one in your house, maybe on the coffee table or something. The point is, what good is that if you don't open it and read it? Profanity has become commonplace in our world. And as we have grown older, we hear more of it. I mean, when we were younger, I mean, somebody said a bad word, ooh, and the kids, I remember in grade school, someone said something one time, and I didn't know what it was that he meant, but I know what that means, I'm going to tell my mama. I mean, they did that, and so it has become so commonplace. Believe me, if you're teaching in elementary school, you hear those words all the time. All these profane words. Where did those kids learn it? They learned it from watching TV. They learned it from their parents, obviously. And so it's just become commonplace in our world. And sadly, it is drifting and becoming commonplace by members of the church. And yes, I've heard members of the church use that kind of language and express that kind of language. And not only by themselves expressing and saying it, sometimes we have to be warned by the things you forward on Facebook or you get an email, oh, that's a funny story, and you're not really paying attention, there might be a bad word or two, and you forward it to all your friends. What have you told them? That you really don't pay attention, or that you have no problem with this kind of language? So we have to be very cautious about that. We are trying to express to the world, we are Christians, and what kind of example are we setting? And so if we're not setting a good example, or if we're just setting an example that's commonplace among the world, how do we stand out? How are we different? We can't be. See, it is essentially an attitude of contempt or disregard for God or the things of God, and is well exemplified by those of Ezekiel's day of whom God said. You know, it is an attitude of contempt for God. You probably never thought of it that way. You know, oh, it's just a bad word, or there's no big deal about it. No, showing contempt for God. Like he says, the priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane, and they have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean, and they hide their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. In our world, it is not a stretch to say a lot of people hate God. It's quite obvious by the way they talk and by the way they live. There are a lot of people hate God. They treat God as something to be despised, to be rejected, to be turned away from, to be basically eliminated from our presence. And a lot of them are being very active about doing that. And a lot of times, sadly, there's no church member to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, you're talking about God. You're talking about the one I have my trust in. See, in Ezekiel, it says, I look for someone who would stand before me among men, and I found no one. When people speak violent words and speak profane words and profanity, our attitude is, well, that's just the way they are. I can't change them. That's not true. You can. If you keep on them about it, at least in your presence, they might stop using those words. Now, among their friends or buddies, yeah, they're going to still talk that way. But if they're around you, they'll temper their language if you ask them to. Now, if you don't ask them to, basically, silence is what? They consider silence is consent. They tell you, I did something wrong, you remain silent. Well, it must be okay. And so, that's what we have to be mindful of. See, profanity was not only true of the priest in Ezekiel's day, but the prophets, the princes, and the people were guilty as well. We mentioned all of those in our scripture reading. All of them had profaned God. All of them were basically doing their own thing. They weren't doing things the way God wanted to be done, and they weren't treating the things of God as they should have. Now here it is, 2,600 years later. If this profane attitude is sometimes expressed differently, it's no less prevalent. The same things are happening. We have preachers who do not teach the law of God. There's a lot of them out there. Oh, they like to tell nice stories, heartwarming stories, maybe some philosophical babble or something like that. But if they're not telling them the truth, what they're saying is profane in the sight of God. So it's no different, and it's not any less prevalent. Many are still putting no difference between the holy and the profane, maybe even unwittingly. You know, some people can do that. They might show something without thinking. They might do something and not even realize what they're doing is wrong. And yet, God said somewhere in his book, that's not the way we should be. What are we supposed to be? We are supposed to be lights in this world. We're to be those who are the salt of the earth, a preserving power in this earth. And when we just blend in with everybody else and act like everybody else, we're not doing anybody any good. And then it gets to the point, especially ourselves. If we are not standing out, being different from the world, what are we? Remember 2 weeks ago we had that sermon, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, what is it? If you talk like the world and act like the world, and yet you call yourself a Christian, that don't fit. It does not work. See, profanity was popular in those days. Now, I'm sure the colorful language is how they expressed it sometimes was maybe a little bit different. But they still said things that were basically, when people heard it, they knew, oops, that's a bad word. I mean, they've known that all along. See, it does not take long to figure it is still popular. It is popular. We're not just talking about bad language either, but that is included in it. And yes, using bad language is just as bad as any other sin. It's just as bad as fornication, just as bad as adultery. It's just as bad as stealing. See, our problem, we try and categorize sin and put them in different levels. Excuse me. And the profanity, well, that's a low priority sin. I mean, it really doesn't mean that much. In fact, what's the phrase? Everybody does it. Have you ever heard that statement? What did Mama say when you told her everybody does it? Yeah, if they all jumped off a bridge, would you jump with them? I mean, there's always a comeback for that. And we know that. Some of us were raised in the generation that when our kids said that, we said the same things. Anytime God is removed from first place, it is a form of profanity. Yeah, that's what we say about idolatry. See, idolatry puts our affection on one thing other than God. And it doesn't matter what that one thing is, whether it might be your spouse, might be your children or your parents or your friends, or maybe a football star, or might be money or your job, or what, anything that takes the place of God is an idol. And it is profanity as far as God is concerned. You're disrespecting God because God wants to be first in your life. He tells us that He commands us to be first in His life. And anytime we don't do that, we are profaning Him, and it is a form of profanity. And this includes some things we may be guilty of. So we have to be very careful as we go through our lives and our behavior and what we present to the world. We have to be careful there. How many of you have seen this? OMG. Does anybody know what it stands for? Oh yeah, everybody knows that. Everybody knows what it stands for. It's used as an expression of wow, or trying to be provocative in their speech. Some people just, OMG, you've heard them do that. Some of you have probably done that without thinking. But what is it? It is very irreverent towards God. Why? Because you're taking the name of God in vain. So I suppose that's why it's so common today, because people disrespect God, and this just kind of falls in that category. And why not? OMG is what they use. And it's taking God's name in vain. But why do Christians use it? Well, let's see. We know from Exodus 27, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. All right, here's the problem. We'll get to that in just a minute. Okay, this point. Oh my God. You can see how God would feel about that. As we use it as an expression, as a surprise expression or something like that, or when someone tells you something that might be unbelievable or something, and you use this phrase. Now, the psalmist used this phrase many times. You can go to your Bible, you can find this phrase. He says, oh my God. but it was not done in the Psalms the way it is used today. People use this phrase, "Oh my God," today as an expression, not as a compliment towards God or a request towards God. See, the psalmist, when he used it, demonstrated a presence of mind to recognize the presence of God and give him glory. Recognize God. If I need help, I can turn to my God. And so he used it as a good complimentary expression. But yet this phrase, OMG, even derivatives of the word are problematic. And we have to be very careful how we do our speech. And some things we might be guilty, like, oh my gosh. People use that phrase a lot. But technically, it's just a euphemism that people try because they do not want to be irreverent towards God, but trying to mimic what others in the world are doing. You see the problem there? We're trying to be like the world. And that is the problem. You know, texting, OMG. And it's not like anybody has to wonder what it stands for. You might find some of the older generation might not understand what it means, but practically everybody, especially the one you're texting it to, they know exactly what you're saying. Just like LOL. I mean, laugh out loud. I mean, so. And because it specifically does not mention God, more Christians feel comfortable using it. You see what I'm saying? Just because they know from Exodus, we shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. So, since God is not in that phrase, OMG, then it's okay to use it. But the people you're sending it to, they don't see, oh my gee. They're reading something else. We hear it on TV shows. Frequently, we hear it. And the characters that speak this are usually not very godly in their behavior. Have you noticed that? And sometimes they do it in such a way that, I mean, they're putting that emphasis, oh my. We've all seen that. It's nothing new, nothing you haven't seen before. But it is irreverent towards God. And they certainly are not making an appeal to God, looking for guidance or protection, as we see the psalmist use the phrase. That's how the psalmist used it. He used it. Give me guidance. Give me protection. Help me out, Lord. I need your help. People who use OMG or oh my God, I mean, they don't use it that same way. And I caution you not to be involved in doing so. Now we talk about the profane. See, if God was profaned in the violation of the commandments given through Moses, how much more in the violation of that law given through this time of the covenant of God's Son? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I mean, we read that. I mean, they were taking what God had given the people to do as a law, and they weren't doing it. So God says, you have profaned my law. You have disregarded my law. It's just like the people that when we talk about, here's a commandment from God, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. We don't need to do that. We don't want to do that. And what are they doing? They are violating the law of God. And when God gives a command, he expects us to fulfill that command. See, it happens because people are not interested in keeping God's commands. And that's true. We realize that. They're not interested in keeping God's law. And the only time they want to do something right is when it's to their advantage. We see that in our world today. So Jeremiah 6:10, notice what he says about it. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed and they cannot listen. We might say they will not listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Isn't that how many people in our society feels? They have no delight in the word of God. In fact, this is something that is horrible. It is terrible. Anybody who comes to the Bible for their authority is a lowlife as far as they are concerned. See, it is obvious that the better covenant is not getting any better treatment than the old covenant. And we see that. And even from those who are supposed to know better, his own children. See, God wasn't talking about all the heathens and the pagans in the old law when he says they profaned my things. He was talking to his own people. Those of us who are, quote, in the church. Here's the ones we're giving this instruction to. Those people in the world, they don't know any better. But we do know better. And we should know better. And we should act better and different than them. And why? Perhaps because many Christians do not take their sins as seriously as they should. Like I said, we categorize sins. We have the major sins. You know, even the Catholics have their seven deadly sins. But we have the really bad sins. Then we have those maybe sins and some light sins. A lot of times, our members feel okay doing the light sins. No big deal. I'll just ask for forgiveness. Problem with them is they don't study their Bibles. Because the Bible says that doesn't work. If anyone sins willfully, there no longer remains a sacrifice for them. Hebrews 10 and verse 26 tells us that. See, maybe we forget that God is profane no worse than when his people deliberately engage in sinful practices. Yeah, we saw that. God was not pleased with them. So what did he do? He caused the destruction of them. They lost their land. They lost their name, their heritage, because of their sin. And we have to be careful that we're not becoming a little insensitive to sin. It's difficult to have any form of entertainment come before us that doesn't seek to please the lust in some way. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. I mean, we got to be very careful. And we got to, they're going to talk like that. I mean, that's one reason why the movie people, they throw in some words just to make sure they get a more severe rating. Who wants to go see a G-rated movie anymore? Even the kids, that's not enough excitement for them. It's got to be PG-13. If you're old enough for a PG-13 movie, you want to see the R-rated. And if you're old enough for the R-rated, you want to see the X-rated. And then the double X and triple X and quadruple X. And it just keeps going. And it's all because we become insensitive to sin. Especially our own. That's where we've got to look all the time. We've got to examine ourselves. See, to profane Christ. Take, for instance, the many unfaithful who claim, I know what I should do, but I never seem to get around doing it. You know, there's a lot of people like that. People in the world know they should come to God, but they can't get around to it. There's even Christians, people who wear the name of Christ, they know what they should do, but they never get around to it. What is the difference between the two? There really isn't any difference. See, if they do know what they should do, do they really understand what they're doing? See, God is going to judge us. And we should know. In Hebrews 10:26, like I say, if we continue in sin, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. James 4:17. He that knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. There must be something in the reading of that verse that kind of makes people disconnect from it. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother them that it is there. A lot of times they just ignore that. Because we know what is right. It is right to assemble with the saints and learn about God and learn how we can be better productive citizens in his kingdom. It is right to attend Bible class to learn more about God and how to apply these things to our lives. It is right to attend the evening services because you get more education about God. Some people just kind of ignore that passage because they're okay with just Sunday morning only. They think they've gotten enough. And when in our Friday night Bible study, we talked about people who basically, the only thing they want, they need to get in here, take the Lord's Supper, then they leave. I mean, they have fulfilled a sacrament is all they have done. And they feel, oh, I've done my duty to God. I went to church. Did you learn anything? Well, no. Then what good did it do you to go to church? I mean, that's things we've got to consider. See, repentance is not possible until people see their own profanity towards God. See, if you're okay in your own mind that using OMG among your friends is all right to send it out in social media, if that's okay with you, what do I need to repent for? And shouldn't that be covered under just my general forgive us of our sins as we say every night when we go to bed? Or when we come to church, we say forgive us of our sins? Is there any difference? Are you sorry you did that? And when you look at the word repentance, it means to turn away from that. But yet you're going to continue to do such things. See, it is more than just offending the brethren or sinning against the church, as we sometimes put it. When we do this, we sin against God. I mean, you might talk that way when you're out there among your friends. You walk in this place and you talk differently. See, there's a problem there. How you speak in church is the way you ought to speak out there in the world. And profanity is, as someone has said, tantamount to spitting in the face of God. Now, who would do that? Oh, no, I would never do that. That's just not right. OMG, that's just not right. Notice that play on words? See, it is blasphemy. It is a mockery. It is saying, in effect, God, you are not going to rule over me. I'll do as I please. And what do you call that? That's just another word for sin. And people who sin, are they going to heaven? If they don't get it forgiven, they're not going to go to heaven. See, any person who places his own personal interest above God's will manifests this profane attitude, as he and his brethren need to understand. I mean, that's right. We do our selfishness, and then if we have any time, we'll acknowledge God. That's the way a lot of people are. I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want God to get in the way. And sometimes what I want to do interferes with what God wants done. And rather than feel bad about it, oh well, seems to be the attitude. You know, Jesus only states the positive side when he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. A lot of people wish that he says, if you don't keep my commandments, it means you don't love me. I wish that scripture, that was in the Word of God, but since I'm not allowed to add to it, I just express my opinion about it. But you can take the phrase right here, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What is the obvious answer if you don't keep the commandments? You don't love Jesus. Or you don't love him well enough to change your ways for him. That's what this is about. Failure to keep his commandments expresses much more than most are willing to admit. That's very true. See, finally, God says the willful sinner is like the dog turning to its own vomit again, and the sow that is washed to wallowing in the mire. We read that 2 Peter 2 and verse 22. Not a pretty picture, is it? We've all seen it. We've seen what dogs do. They go back, look it up, and oh, grouse. And we say, and don't come look me now. No. But the person who won't give up their sin, or they might ask God for forgiveness and they turn back to the sin, is no different than the dog returning to his vomit. See, when the unfaithful and their concerned brethren can see it like God sees it, perhaps some can be saved from that sore punishment. And hopefully such profanity will become less popular among the people of this day. Not going to change out in the world. They're going to get as provocative as they can. All the regular TV stations, which used to have guidelines, you don't use these words, and if these words are used, you bleep them out. They don't even do that anymore. People drop these bombs all the time, and oops, sorry, no big deal. Profanity has become popular. It's popular among the people of this world for sure, but in a lot of cases, it's popular inside the church. Profanity is more than just using bad language, like I said. It is disrespecting God. And some may never, ever utter a curse or cuss word, but their actions, they profane the Lord. If they're not doing what is right, they profane the Lord. So it's just like cussing out God. Remember Job's wife told him, after all the problems of suffering came upon him, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, woman, be quiet. I'm not going to do that. And he did not curse God with his lips. And neither should we. And we may never say any of those bad four-letter, five-letter, eight-letter words or whatever combination of words there are. We may never use these words as adjectives or adverbs or something like that. But if we're not serving God the way he wants to be served, we are doing something that is profane in the sight of God. And we must warn people. There are dire consequences for profaning God. When you treat God disrespectfully, irrespectfully, there's consequences for that. And that's why we have to warn each other about this. That's why we are commanded to examine ourselves. Where are we? What adjustments do I need to make to continue on being right in the sight of God? If we're not thinking about that, if we're trying to figure out, well, what can I do? How can I use this word and stuff like this? I mean, you're going to be lost. You're not going to heaven that way. We want you to go to heaven. That's why we gather together. That's why we encourage each other. All the more as we see the day approaching. Consider this when you see profanity on your social media. Am I going to promote that? Am I going to pass it on? Can I change it before I send it? I mean, there's a lot of ways we can do this. So watch your profanity. Not only your words, but your actions. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while together we stand and sing.